This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series called Jesus Revolution, amen? And we need to get a greater revelation of who Jesus is, amen? We just got to get a greater revelation. And when you get a greater revelation of who Jesus is, it will cause you to have strong faith. And I'm going to say this. Lots of people's faith are under attack. We are in the last days. I'm going to talk about that today. And the devil is working against your faith. Do you believe that? But because faith is the key. That's the key that pleases God. Faith is the key that brings in the promises of God in your life. You have to believe. Amen. Say, I'm a believing believer. So knowing who Jesus is and what he has done for us and through us will get us to the next level in faith. Paul, the apostle, understood a lot of things. He had a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding in biblical studies. And he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But he said this in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with you, come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul's goal in life was to know Jesus more. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. You need to have that same goal. You need to get to know Jesus more every day. And I believe that we don't have enough Jesus in our lives right now. I believe that there's more of God that we can get in our lives. Do you believe you can get more God? How many people have enough God? I don't have enough God in here. I need more God. Somebody say more God. And more God is more grace. And more grace is more power to walk in the last days, for we are in the last days. Amen. And so I like what the Apostle Paul said in the message in verse 2. He says, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus, who he is. Jesus, what he did. Jesus crucified. Now, in the series, we talked about how Jesus has identified with mankind. Jesus lived like a man down here, but he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He is, our first session was, he's our high priest. So the Bible says that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Whatever you go through, Jesus went through it first. Amen. Amen? And that's good news because, you know, he understands who we are. He understands our weaknesses. And he's in heaven right now praying that our faith doesn't fail. We found out that Jesus is a miracle worker. He still is doing miracles today. Amen. And we understand this, that nothing is impossible for those that believe God. Amen. Somebody say, I believe God. And we found out that Jesus is our shepherd. Glory to God. So that means that you're not in this walk by yourself, that he is your shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. We found out Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. You can live a resurrected life every day. It's not just Easter Sunday that we celebrate the resurrection. No, no. You should be living a resurrected life every day of your life. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I love that we discovered also that Jesus is our healer. Amen. And he paid the price so that we can walk in, somebody say, divine health. That means that we're getting sick less and less. We're walking in abundance of health and vitality. Amen. I know some of us are getting a little older. Amen. But just because you're getting older doesn't mean that you have to succumb to some of the things that they say that you're going to succumb to when you get older. You know, I'm not going to get Alzheimer's. I'm not, you know, as I get older, my mind is renewed every day. My spirit's renewed every day. And all you have to do is renew your mind to the Word of God. And that Word of God will strengthen your mind, glory to God. Keep it new. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there's no forgetful people in Exceed Life Church. Amen. Glory to God. And so last week we talked about that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And so it was already set in place before Adam and Eve sinned. God already had provision. And before your problem came into your life, God already has the answer. Do you believe that today? He has the answer to your problem. Jesus is the answer for the world today. You believe that today? And so today I want to talk to you about Jesus, our soon coming King. Somebody say, our soon coming King. And so Jesus, this is a pinnacle truth that I don't know if it's talked a lot about in churches, that Jesus is coming back. And we got to get a revelation. We have to be living. Now, if you knew Jesus was coming back, you know, this week, would you live your life a little differently? Would you be in the Bible a little bit more? Would you put down some weaknesses that you've been dealing with? Would you forgive some people? If you knew Jesus was coming back, would you get your life right? How about getting your life right now? How about getting prepared and getting ready now? Amen. Because he could come back anytime. Amen. And so we are in the last days. And in Matthew 24, they asked Jesus, when will he set up his final kingdom? And Jesus said that what's going to happen right prior before Jesus sets up his kingdom down here, that he comes back, that there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, there's going to be famines, there's going to be pestilence. You know, all that's going on in the world. Amen? Not in our world, praise God, but it's going on in the world. And wars, you know, there's two wars going on right now. You know, it's pretty serious stuff happening. Ukraine and Israel and these wars are going on. But God is in control. Do you believe that today? And even don't get fearful because of these wars that are going on. God is our protector. Amen. Amen. And the enemy's trying to put fear on people. So we know this, that we are in the last days. Amen. And so, you know, there is a great tribulation coming. And it's not tribulation that's going to be caused by the wars of men. It's called the seven-year tribulation. And this is a tribulation where God judges the earth for the sin that they're walking in. It's God will judge people that reject Christ. I'm going to say it again. God will judge people that will reject God's goodness. And God's goodness is Jesus Christ. And so we have passed from judgment into life because we received Jesus. So we won't have the wrath of God abiding in our lives. Amen. And in Matthew 24:21, Jesus says it this way, for then there will be great tribulation, talking about this. There's a 7-year tribulation coming, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor not ever shall be. So Jesus is saying that in this 7-year tribulation, it's going to be the worst that the world has ever experienced since the creation. This is powerful. And I'm going to say this, you don't want to be here when that's happening. In other words, you don't want to be stuck down here. Amen. No, you want to be up there in heaven. Amen. And so we need to get a revelation that Jesus is coming back. And I like this because he came to save us, really. And we're saved. You know what we're saved from? We're not just saved from the devil. We're saved from the wrath of God to come on all ungodliness. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, there is a wrath. There is a judgment of God that's coming on the sinful world, the ones that thumb their nose up at God, the ones that don't care about God, the ones that curse God. They don't think God exists. They don't think he's here. But I'm going to say he's alive and well.
Amen.
Amen. God does exist. And the Bible says just the creation itself screams. Yes, I'm saying it. Screams that God is alive. That God exists. That's where faith begins, that God exists and that Jesus is not just some good prophet, some good teacher. No, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. And we got to get a revelation of this. And Jesus is not just a founder of Christianity. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And I love what it says in Romans 5:8. And 9, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood. Somebody say, I'm justified. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Notice that it says here, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Notice that word wrath there. In other words, you don't want to get on the bad side of God. You want to stay on the good side of God. Do you believe that today? In other words, I want to live my life well-pleasing to God. I don't want to do anything that would cause judgment to come into my life. You know, you as a Christian, you can do things to cause judgment to come into your life. And the Bible says if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. In other words, if you're allowing the Word of God to show up any darkness in your life, any areas in your life that is not, you know, congruent with God's Word, if we're allowing His Word to show up those things and we change, somebody say change. See, the reason why God's judgment comes on people and even Christians is because they're doing the wrong things and they're not changing. And repentance is changing. It's moving from one area of disobedience to another area of obedience. It's change. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry, God, and you keep going in that same direction. That's worldly sorrow. And the Bible says worldly sorrow always produces death. Worldly sorrow, that's what Judas had. He was sorry that he set Jesus up. He was sorry, but he still ended up hanging himself, and he still ended up in hell. Yes, he was sorry, but it wasn't in true repentance. Amen? And so I love this in Acts. Let me give you the confirmation of Jesus' return. In Acts 1, 9, 11, it says, when he had spoken these things, why they watched, we're talking about Jesus, he was taken up in a cloud. This was Jesus talking to his disciples. And after he was resurrected from the dead, he was talking to his disciples. He was telling them what they needed to do to go to Jerusalem, to stay, to be empowered from on high. And then he says here, when he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus was speaking to them. A cloud came down and lifted Jesus up. Amen. And took him up. And it said, and they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, those two men were angels. Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So these angels was predicting the return of Jesus. And Jesus will come unexpectedly. And we will know the seasons, but no man will know the hour. Amen. And so the Bible, so if somebody tells you, well, I know Jesus is coming back on this certain date, they will be wrong. Because nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. It's sort of a mystery. That's why we have to stay faithful. That's why we got to keep walking the walk. Amen. And so it's going to be suddenly. God's going to move suddenly. Jesus, Trump's going to sound suddenly. And you don't have time to get ready. You got to be ready now. Yes. Say, I'm getting ready now. And you can't be out in the darkness doing dark things, you know, and not walking in righteousness. And when the Trump blows and you're in darkness, you may stay in darkness. I'm preaching today. But you need to be walking the straight and narrow walk with Christ. In Matthew 24, 40 through 42, this is still Jesus talking about the rapture, which is the rapture is raptio. It means the catching away. And it says here, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Now, this is Jesus speaking. So if this is important, if Jesus is saying one is taken and one is left, and then he says, you know, watch, therefore, because you don't know the hour. What Jesus was saying here is he's saying you better be ready. Amen. Get ready for his return. Amen. Amen. I love that. And I love what it says in Thessalonians 5:2. It says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. See, a thief won't call you up and tell you, I'm coming over tonight to rob you. You know what I'm saying? A thief is not going to, you know, he's not going to send a certified letter and say, I'm coming to your house while you're on vacation to steal everything you got in your house. That's not going to happen. And when Jesus comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. Amen. So I believe the rapture is for those that persevere. And I believe that you have to qualify. Yes, I said it this morning. You're going to have to qualify to be raised in the rapture. In other words, some preachers will teach you that all Christians, no matter where your walk in Christ is, if you're backslidden, out there doing the worldly stuff, turned your back on Christ, doesn't matter. As long as you prayed the prayer, you're making it in the rapture. I don't know about all that. And I don't believe the Bible actually teaches that. That's why the Bible says that you got to be ready. Say, get ready. Amen. And so we got to be ready. Amen. In Revelation 3:8, it says here, I know your works. See, I set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, this is Jesus. He gave a revelation to the Apostle John. John wrote the book of Revelation. And so there were seven churches that these letters were sent to. And these letters that were sent to the churches was sent to the churches to warn them and to commend them, to let them know what good things they were doing and let them know there's areas where they need to straighten up in. And so these letters, so this was a letter that was written to a church, which was called the Philadelphia Church, the Church of Brotherly Love. And he said, you had little strength, but yet you kept your word. So this is really powerful. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial. So then he says here in verse 11, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one takes your crown. That's a powerful statement from the Lord Jesus. He said, see, some people believe nobody can take my crown. I'm eternally secure in God. And it doesn't matter how I live my life. You know, you can give your crown away. Amen. You can walk away. You have the power to walk away from God. It's an open contract. In other words, you have to keep believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's some keys here in these verses that will help you be rapture ready or be ready for the return of Jesus. We must keep God's word in our lives. The Bible says that you had little strength, but you kept his word. You must keep God's word in your life. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you need to be in the word of God every day. Amen. That means you need to be studying the word. That's the reason why I send you a scripture every day. Why do I send you a scripture every day? I want that word affecting your life. I want that word transforming your life. I want that word. That, you know, sometimes I send a word of encouragement. Sometimes I send a word of warning. And we need encouragement and we need warning. Amen. Because our flesh will always try to go the wrong way. So we need warnings and we need encouragement. And God's word will warn you and God's word will encourage you. Amen. Amen. And it says here, we must keep God's word. Number two, we must not deny Jesus' name. I've heard people that were Christians and famous people, and they said, well, I'm not a Christian anymore. I used to believe, now I'm Muslim, or now I'm of this other religion. And so you cannot deny the name of Jesus, because the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to get you to sway away from who Jesus is. So you cannot deny his name. In other words, if somebody came to you this afternoon and pointed a gun at you and said, renounce Jesus Christ, you better say, no way, Jose. Amen. And you just, all you do is use the name. I command the name of Jesus, put that gun down. Because you don't have to get shot. Because you have power over those demonic spirits that are working through people. Amen. And you must not deny Jesus' name. In other words, you can't be embarrassed of Jesus. You can't cower down. Are you a Christian? No, yes, you are a Christian. Glory to God. There's no hums on Sunday mornings. You know, but the rest of the week I work for the devil. No, listen, you hear what I'm saying to you today? No, you can't be embarrassed of Jesus, because the Bible says if you're embarrassed of Jesus, he's going to be embarrassed of you. Woo! The Bible says if you deny Jesus, he said, I will deny you in front of the Father and the angels in heaven. So don't deny Jesus. Say, I'm not denying Jesus. And there will be pressures for us to deny Jesus. Amen. Number three, we must persevere to the end. I'm talking about that you're going to have, that the rapture is a reward for those who keep God's word, for those that do not deny Jesus' name, and for those that persevere to the end. It's a reward for faithfulness. And a faithful man will abound in blessings. What's faithfulness, Pastor? Faithfulness is keep doing the right things even when the wrong things are happening. Keep doing the right things in God when you're not seeing the blessing in full manifestation yet. But the blessing is coming. Don't give up on God. Glory to God. Let me give you an admonition. Let me encourage you. I'll use another word. Admonition. Admonition. That's a good word, Pastor. Admonition. That's another word for encouragement. Let me encourage you to keep going and don't pull back. Amen. Keep going and don't pull back. In Hebrews, look at this. In Hebrews it says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of it. Why am I telling you not to pull back? Why am I telling you not to back off? Because there's Christians that are doing that. They're backing off of the things of God. They're going back in their old losing lifestyles. They're going back into worldliness. There are Christians that are being deceived in the end days. But say this, that's not me. I'm not going to be deceived. Amen. Why? Because you're going to stay in the Word. Amen. You're not going to deny Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to persevere to the end. Amen. And it says here in Hebrews 10:35 and 39, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Another word for endurance is perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, what is he talking about, receive the promise? I believe he's talking about the promise is the rapture of the church, being raptured. It's the promise. Because the next scripture gives it away. The next scripture says, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now I think I made my case. Okay. I think I made my case. The promise is the rapture. And he's saying, why? Because right after that, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. But what's the promise? You being raptured. In other words, you being raised up with Christ. Amen. That, now, notice it says this after that. Now, the just shall live by faith. But notice this. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. No pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe in the saving of the soul. So I'm going to say this. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be people that are going to deny the faith. There are going to be people that are going to be leaving the faith. It's called the great apostasy. That means the leaving of the faith, that people are going to be going into other religions and leaving the faith. But that's not us. Amen. We're staying in the faith. Amen. So if you study this out, there's some key points to Hebrews 10, 35 and 39. To stay rapture protected or rapture ready, the first key, don't give up on the promises of God's word. Don't give up on the promises of God's word. Believe that God's word is true and that God's going to make his word come true in your life. Number two, stay persistent in walking with God. Stay persistent in walking with God. It's not a sprint. Our race is a marathon. It's a process. It's your entire life. It's living your life every day. Just live your life one day at a time for Jesus. You just live it one day. Say, today, Lord, I'm all out for you. 100%. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm witnessing. I'm living it for you all day. And then the next day, say the same thing. Lord, I'm living for you today. I'm walking with you today. I'm praying today. I'm going to live for you all. And then the next day, Lord, I'm living for you today. I'm walking. Are you here? And pretty soon, you have a lifestyle of living for the Lord. But the enemy's going to try to get you to back up, back off, go back. In your old losing lifestyles. And you got to be very careful about that. Because I believe that the rapture is a reward for those that persevere. And I love this in Matthew 25. Oh man, can I nail the nail in the coffin this morning? Amen. In Matthew 25, Jesus just talks about this. In 24, he talks about the end of the world. He talks about, you know, all the things that are going to be happening in the last days. And then he says here in Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. You know, the people that preach that the rapture is for every Christian, they don't read Matthew 25. Because if you read Matthew 25 about the 10 virgins, you'll find out this doesn't work with everybody going up. In other words, you got to be ready. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Somebody say, I'm wise. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, notice it says, those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Yeah. Notice it said those who were ready. Amen. Went in. So my question to you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? You might say, not today. Are you ready to meet him? Amen. And after the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Woo! Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Is that talking about the rapture? When he says, you don't know the day and the hour, is that a warning? I think that's a warning. I think that's an encouragement. It's two things. It's encouraging those that are keeping their oil filled, and it's warning those that their oil is, in other words, they're not staying filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not praying. They're not in the Word. They're not developing their relationship with God. They're not staying full of God. You need to live out of the overflow, not tapping the reserves. I'm going to say that again. You need to live out of the overflow, not tapping the reserves. Amen. In other words, God is looking for a triumphant church without spot or wrinkle, full of love and faith, doing the works of Jesus. Can I get a witness? And we need to be people that live our lives pleasing to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. So that's our aim. Say, that's my aim. To be well pleasing to him. So let's look at how important that is, because I'm going to say this. In the last days, we can leave our first love. In the book of Revelation, Jesus was reprimanding a church and said, I know your works, you have good works, you do good things, but there's one thing I have against you, not that you lost your first love, because you don't lose your love, but you left your love. In other words, we don't want to leave our love for Jesus. And then it says here in Revelation, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say I am rich, you have become wealthy, you have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What is he saying? He's saying that we might have some material things in this world. We may have a good job. We may be getting good money. We may have a nice house to live in. We may have nice cars to drive. But don't get your faith all locked up into that. Those are good things to have, and God blesses those that walk with him. But don't put your faith and trust in your things and your stuff, because that stuff can be, you can't take that with you. Amen. When you go to the Lord, your hearse is not going to be carrying all your stuff behind you. You hear what I say? Boy, they had a lot of stuff. Boy, they had a lot of stuff. Amen. A lot of toys, you know. There's a saying, he who dies with the most toys wins. No, he still dies. He who dies, just because you have a lot of stuff, don't put your faith and trust in the stuff. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Amen. And what Jesus was saying here, he's saying here that you're neither cold or hot. And when you understand what he means by that, a cold drink on a hot day is refreshing. And a hot drink on a cold day is refreshing. In other words, what he's saying is, I'd rather you be cold or be a cold drink on a hot day or a hot drink on a cold day. What he was saying is that I don't want you lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. What he's saying is, I don't want you blasé about your walk with Christ. No, some of us need to get passionate. Some of us need to get excited. Some of us need to take another dip. So in the blood of Jesus. I'm not talking about a dip like skull, but, I'm talking about take a dip in the blood of Jesus. We need to get refreshed in our relationship with Christ. Jesus is coming back. He promised that in John 14, 1 and 3. He said, listen, if all these bad things happen, wars are happening, Rumors were, don't get upset about that, because the closer it's getting, Jesus closer to coming back. And I love this. It says, let not your heart be troubled in John 14:1-3. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you as myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Notice it says that I will come again. That's a rapture scripture. I know it's used in a lot of homegoings, but it's a rapture scripture. I'm preparing a place. God is preparing a mansion for you. I'm telling you, living for God pays rich dividends. I'm telling you, the retirement is out of this world. Glory to God. It's mansions in heaven, streets of gold, pearly gates. It's the presence of God. It's joy, inexpressibly full of glory. All eternity, glory to God. Amen. I love that. And so that's the promise. The event. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. This is the event. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive will remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Notice this, that the second coming and the rapture of Jesus are two different events. The second coming is when Jesus comes down on the earth and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. But the rapture is when we meet Jesus in the air. He doesn't put his foot down on the ground. He's in the air. Amen? And that's what it's saying. We'll be caught up together. And some people say, I'm going up on the first load. Then that means you're going to die first, because the dead in Christ are raised first. No, I'm going up on the second load. I hear preachers say that when I'm listening to preachers. I'm going on first load. I said, oh, my God. Oh, Lord Jesus. They're not going to make it. No, you're going up on the second load. And I believe it's this generation. Yes, I'm preaching it today. It's this generation that will see the return of Jesus. I believe we're going to see the return of Jesus in this lifetime. Why? Everything is pointing to the last days. AI, artificial intelligence, all this that's going about, it's bringing in the Antichrist that's going to try to rule the world. Amen? But we're not going to be here when the Antichrist is here, because I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm looking for Jesus Christ in the last days. Amen? So the event, this is the event. When the trumpet sounds, we'll be caught up in the air to be ever with the Lord. That's the event, the process. The process is in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 54. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm going to say this to you this morning. We were never meant to die. People recoil the entire idea. I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians. Nobody wants to die. Nobody likes even to think about death. Amen. And so, but we were never meant to die. Amen. Eternity is put in the hearts of every person. And this is saying here that in a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed, and we are mortal, but we're going to become immortal. Oh, I'm preaching today. God's going to make us immortal. In other words, we're going to live forever. Glory to God. We're going to live forever. It's not you only live once. No, you live twice. Some say you only live YOLO. You must YOLO it. What is YOLO? You only live once. No, you live twice. Amen. You live, well, basically you can live once if once if Jesus come and Jesus will come. Yeah, but mostly if Jesus tarries, we're going to live twice, glory to God. Once on this earth and the rest in eternity, glory to God. So that's the process, the outcome. You ready for the outcome? Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things has passed away. Glory to God. Amen. And so God has set it up. I'm telling you, we should have never left. Adam and Eve should have never left the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect place. And that's the way God wanted it. But Adam and Eve had their own will. They chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They went their way. But God's going to have it His way. Amen. And God is coming back. And He's coming back. And He's going to judge the world. In Revelation 20, 11 through 13, it says, I see a great white throne who sat on it from those who faced on the earth, and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. So I'm going to say this. I don't want to be judged according to my evil works. I want to be judged by my believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's going to be people that's going to stand. See, hell is not a place that God sends people because He's mad at them. Hell's a place for people to pay for their sins. I'm going to say that again. Hell's not a place that God sends people because He's mad at them. Hell's a place where people pay for their sins. But if you receive Jesus, your sins are already paid for because Jesus paid for it on the cross. Can I get a witness in the house today? So God is a God of love, amen? And in 2 Thessalonians here, it says here, since it is the righteous thing that God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, to give you all who are troubled troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Now, this is an exhortation of Paul, and he's saying that there's people that are evil, that are doing evil things. And he's saying that God is going to take vengeance on the evil people that don't repent. And he's saying, he says here that the angels, the vengeance of God will come upon these people. And it says, who do not know God. So it's people who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Well, what is that saying, Pastor? There's two types of people. There's people that don't know God or deny God or deny Jesus, but there's people that prayed the prayer, confession of Jesus, but they're not obeying the gospel. What kind of people are that? Those are the backsliders. Those are the ones that are out in the world that confess Jesus as Lord at one time, that went to church at one time. Hey, listen, you can live your whole life serving God for 50 years, and then the last 3 years live in the world, live for yourself. I don't know if you're going to make it. Amen. In other words, you got to be saved to the end. Amen. And so he said, this is a warning to two groups of people, to those who don't know God and to those who don't obey the gospel. Well, the only people that can obey the gospel are Christians. Yeah. Is that right? Is this pretty strong this morning? Is it okay this morning? I believe you guys are up for this message, amen? And it says here, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and for the glory of His power. So listen, there is a reason why we're here as Christians, and that's to help people not to go to hell. We're here, we're raised up to help people not to go to hell. Now God is going to judge us. God's going to judge the Christian for how he walks. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ for the works that we've done in this body. And we're going to be judged for that. And it's going to be for eternal rewards. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. I want all the rewards that God has for me. And I don't want to sacrifice any rewards that God. In other words, you got to live an eternal perspective in this life. You got to always be living in an eternal perspective. In other words, you're living for heaven. You're not just living for this world. So I'm going to give you some keys, and I'm closing down. That we need to be rapture ready. We need to stay focused on the mission. What do I mean by that is, and the mission is Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. So we need to be out there witnessing as often as we can. In other words, you need to get some of our cards, be passing them out, inviting people to church. I know I talked about it last week, but we need to keep doing that. I did that this week, man. I've been passing out cards, talking to people about Jesus, inviting people to church. Amen. And I never feel more alive than after I'm done witnessing. For some reason, when I'm done witnessing, I get this joy. I get this excitement. I'm like, woo, glory to God. I'm doing something in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And I get the joy of the Lord. It reactivates my faith. It really floats my boat. What floats your boat, Pastor? Witnessing. Just praying for people. And I walk away like a soldier. You're soldiers of Christ. Amen. Don't get caught up in your own problems where you're all just focused on your problems and you can't see the forest before the trees. No. Get out of your problems. Start focusing on other people's problems. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And you have Jesus. Number one, we need to stay focused on the mission. Number two, we need to stay heavenly minded. Stay heavenly minded. In Colossians 3, 2 and 4, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is in your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. So that tells me that's a rapture scripture right there. That's saying that we need to stay heavenly minded. And when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. So being heavenly minded, not worldly minded. Don't be so caught up in the new latest Netflix series. You know, no, get more excited about the Pastor David series. Get more excited about the church series. Don't be more excited about the movies and all that. Yeah, that's good and it has its place. And I'm not against entertainment, but entertainment is sending more people to hell than anything else. Can I get a witness in the house today? And in 2 Corinthians 4, 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what is that saying? That's saying that we keep an eternal perspective, glory to God. That's saying that we stay heavenly minded. How do you do that? You stay in the Word. You stay in prayer. You stay word up, prayed up. And you continue to witness the goodness of God. And number three, to stay rapture ready, amen, you have to stay rapture ready. That's my third point. And in Romans 13, 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry or in drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Notice that these are fleshy indulgences. These are things that people tend to go when they're moving away from the things of God. We want to be. I'm telling you, listen. You're going to have to learn to walk in the love of God. The Bible says, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And this is the acid test. If you're going to be rapture ready, are you walking in love? What do I mean by that? Are you walking in love towards God and obeying His Word? Because that's the only way you can walk in love towards God is being obedient to His Word. Being obedient to His Word. That's the acid test that you know that you love God when you obey God. Amen. And number two, you know that you love God when you love other people. And so if you don't love your brother, then you don't have the love of God abiding in you. So you must love God and you must love people. And when you're loving God and I know it's hard to love people. I know people get on your nerves. I know people are mean. If you can't find a nice person, be one. I'm going to say it again. If you can't find a nice person, be one. Glory to God. And there's a lots of people out here. I was at the coffee shop yesterday, and the lady just seemed like it was like at the end of the day, and I was getting my coffee, and she knows who I am because I come in often, and she said, "Man, people are mean." That's what she said to me. Man, she was venting, and I said, "Yeah," I said, "There's not a lot of love in this world." I said, "The reason why people are mean is because they don't have the love of Jesus in their hearts." Do you know what I'm saying? And if you have the love of Jesus in your heart, it should take the meanness out of you. Amen. Amen. And if you're staying heavenly minded, glory to God. If you're staying focused on Jesus, glory to God. If you're staying focused on the mission, number one. If you're staying heavenly minded. And if you're staying rapture ready by putting down the things of the flesh and picking up the things of the Spirit. They that sow to the Spirit will reap life. They that sow to the flesh will reap death. And I'm saying this morning. We are people that sow to the Spirit, and we're going to reap life and life eternal. Glory to God. We are a church without spot or wrinkle. We are a church full of love and faith. We are a church doing the works of Jesus. And I'm saying this to you. Not one person will be lost in Exceed Life Church. Every person is going to make it in the rapture of Exceed Life Church. Because you know what? I pray a prayer over you almost every day. And that prayer is the prayer, it's a salutation that the Apostle Paul wrote in one of the epistles. It's in Thessalonians. And he writes to the church, and I pray this prayer over you, that may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have a pastor that's praying Ephesian prayers over you. You have a pastor that's praying prayers that will keep you in the love of God so that you can be raptured when you hear the trump. You have a pastor that's praying for you every day, and not one of you will be lost. I guarantee it. Glory to God. You're going up in the rapture. We're no man left behind. And no woman left behind too. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Did you receive it this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you for these precious people. Father God, you're making us rapture ready. You're getting us ready for your return. And Father, perhaps there's people in the audience or those that are watching or listening to me. And perhaps you've never, maybe you're on the fence. You're half in the world, half in God. You're straddling the fence. It's time for you to make a decision for Jesus and make him Lord of your entire life. And if that's you and you're ready to make that quality decision today, you can pray a simple prayer. And that prayer is a prayer of dedication and possibly a prayer of rededication to the Lord. Say this and mean in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.